nisakize iwe baby. Kupeza mukazi, kujia bala na Brazilian hair. Brazilian hair, Brazilian hair. Sinezo ziva, alibi letu na jirikondi. Kwenze kutimambi, nende wosoha. Kwenze kutimambi, nende wosoha. What took you so long, my baby? What took you so long?
Good morning, good morning, good morning. Welcome to Zambia Block Talk Radio. It is Saturday, October 19th, 2019. We do appreciate you taking the time to join us this Saturday morning. From wherever you are listening from, it is 9:02 Eastern Time in the East Coast of the United States. It's 2 p.m. For our friends in the British and the UK world, most of Europe, and good afternoon, Africa, most of Africa, and good evening, the Western Pacific, Australia, and those parts of the world. We do thank you for joining us and taking time to be with us this morning. We have a packed show this morning, and we have some very crucial and important things to discuss and to highlight and to bring to your attention. I am a host, Nathan, from the great state and city of Dallas in Texas. Before we get to discussing with our guests this morning, let me just say hello to my friend in Canada. Hi, Roger.
Good morning. Good morning, Nathan. We are here. Saturday morning.
Excellent. How are the prairies?
The prairies are nice and bright. All the snow went away. We have what they call Chinook here. It comes with hot air, so not complaining as of today.
Excellent. Excellent. That was a great discussion with last night. So I don't know whether this is public information or not, but
it is public information. That was I've never had a chat like that. It was. No. The man deserves to be. I don't know if we can go political, but he deserves to be president.
We are going to go political because one of the hot issues we are talking about this morning is concerning, our vibrant, beloved ambassador Harikana Chiwombori Kwao, African Union ambassador to the U.S., the sudden termination. That's our topic for today before we speak to Flo Kidd at the bottom of the hour. So let me not waste time, Roger. Everybody, good morning. Those that have called in, those that are listening on here, we do appreciate you taking the time. This morning, we are privileged, everybody listening, to have the Secretary for the African Diaspora Congress, Professor Apollos Mwaho, joining us from Bowling Green State University in Ohio. I want him to discuss a very important issue. This has literally gone viral. And the reason we're inviting Professor Mwaho to the show is for him to interact with this forum. Okay, is basically driven by Zambian people, but I think it's important for him to address this matter with our audience, our community, and everybody. Professor, good morning, and thank you for joining us.
Good morning.
Excellent. We're so glad to have you with us this morning. Yes. Yeah.
It's my pleasure. Yeah.
Excellent. Please tell us briefly about the aims, objectives, and the purposes the African Diaspora Congress was formed.
Thank you very much. The African Diaspora Congress is a brand new organization that is a coalition of a number of organizations here in the United States, a number of diaspora organizations. We came together because of the sad news of the termination of our ambassador, Ambassador Harikana Chiwombori Kwao, who was terminated without any due process. We all go together, and then just like minds, you know. Before we knew it, the Congress was in formation. So right now it's being put together, in a very grand way to more or less like an umbrella organization for all diasporan organizations throughout the world. Thank you.
I'm in that forum, Professor, and I mean, I can see, Roger, this thing is exploding like, what do they say, wildfire? I mean, tell our listeners, Professor, how exponentially this thing has grown in a few weeks.
It's hard to believe that it is only 1 week old,
Wow.
The excitement that the Congress is generating, especially the issue that is uniting the Congress, the issue that has to do with Arikana. Yesterday was just one full week since we started this campaign, and the petition right now we have over 50,000 petitions signed, and there is growing. Mm-hmm. Our next target is 100,000, and then by the time the week, this coming week ends, I think we will hit that 100,000 number, and then heading to 1 million. There's a lot of excitement because people are upset, really.
Yeah, an organization which is 1 week old has got almost 50,000 signatures, Roger. The driving force behind this is the sudden, unexpected, unexplained, I don't know what terminology, one can fill in the blank here, Ambassador Kwao, as abrupt termination by the African Union. Because what there is a termination letter in circulation, it's not a secret. There is a memo, number two, from the AU explaining why they have done this. And number three, we also have Ambassador Arikana's response to this. The information in these three documents, Professor, is it sufficient? Does it suffice to put this thing to rest?
We have seen all the documents. First, here the document. Let's address the documents first. The letter of termination. Anyone who knows efficiency and decency in offices will see that letter, the way it was crafted. It just shows that there is something punitive about it, you know, just that I have the honor to inform you that you've been terminated, just like that. I mean, that's a language that you use when you're taking some kind of punitive action against someone, punitive in form of punishment. Now, when our campaign started, and they started to see, you know, a number of petition signers, and it was going viral. What they had to do is what we call justification. So that explanation we saw from the office of the chairman of the AU Commission, it was all about trying to justify something that was done and something they didn't know was going to raise a whole lot of dust like that. And of course, what the content of that memo was that embassies and the diplomatic they have the right to hire and fire, and they are always aware. I mean, ambassadors are always aware that they can be recalled at any time, you know, without explanation. And so that was the case with Ambassador Arikana, you know, she knew that that's what. You know, I mean, it's easy to say that way, but when you terminate somebody before, say, the duration or the tenure ends, then there has to be something very, very serious about it, which they have not been able to explain up to today. Yeah.
There is, what's the word? There is some speculation or information going around that France had a hand to do with this because of the message and the maverick approach that she has taken about, about the way the French former colonies relationship that they have with their former colonial masters is, has that been substantiated or is just hearsay? I don't know what the Congress's position is on that.
Well, you know, these are some, you know, when a thing like this happens, you know, you have a lot of speculations, but there are also some, when you say you see the handwriting on the wall, in other words, you see a lot of things going on, then those things going on, you know, will lead you to conclude that this is the case, because we do know. I've said that before, that since 1960, when most African countries became independent, the Francophone countries have been, for some reason, have been the ones that have continuously been tied to France. In other words, we have seen cases and cases of meddling, especially we know that in Cameroon it was clear. When they had a coup, attempted coup to when Amadou Ahidjo was there, we saw that. We saw meddling in Mali. We've seen that. I mean, what I talk about is direct intervention. It's not even the case of indirect. The British, of course, we know that the British have their own interference in the affairs of their former colonies. We know about how they interfered in the Nigerian-Biafran war that happened from 1966 to 1970. The British hands were there, written all over that. We know, and many of the former colonial powers have always have something to do with their former colonies, either directing their affairs politically or economically. So in the case of France, something that was mind-boggling, though, was just only a couple of months or weeks after President Macron of France visited Faki, the chairman of the AU Commission, a few weeks after that. That's when she was terminated. So we are asking, what happened here? Is this a kind of direct? So that's what I'm talking about handwriting and the war. Of course, it's difficult for anybody to tell you that there is a recorded message somewhere where somebody says terminate her. But sometimes we put two and two together. Okay,
that's true. Is Ambassador Kwao's, in quotes and quotes, response to this, the internal memo within the AU, which is also circulating, her response to this, requesting that just the process be finalized in an amicable way, is that being taken as our acceptance of this decision and probably an unspoken message to the diaspora community to say, hey, guys, just accept it, let it go. Would you take it that way?
Oh, no, not at all. Look, Ambassador Arikana has no control over the AU Commission's decision. She was employed, she was hired, and she could be fired. When you're hired and fired and told to park and leave, you certainly will get your stuff ready to leave. Even if you are, when you're leaving and you are saying, look, I have been, the injustice has been done, you will still have to leave the office. The point is, yes, we do know that as an ambassador, once you told that by the person who sent you that, please, your services are no longer needed. And that's the man there, Faki, is still her boss. And he says, look, I don't need your service anymore. she is getting herself ready to leave, you know, at the end of this month. But what we are doing, mm-hmm. what we are saying is that she should be recalled. In other words, the letter should be rescinded so that she continues her service. And we are hoping mm-hmm. that Faki would realize that this was a wrong move, particularly how this ambassador has sensitized African diaspora, Africans here, making us feel that there is the need for us to participate in the economic and political social development of Africa through the AU. This is one ambassador that has done so for AU. And we believe that AU should be really proud of her and say, what more can we do for you? What resources do you need? We want to keep you there. Please stay. We thought that that's what AU would be talking about. And so mm-hmm. our struggle here is to see whether we can at least have them see what we are saying, you know, hear what we are saying and say, you know what, I think we made a mistake. We've rescinded the letter. While they are thinking about that, I think Arikan is right. She has no option than to also be getting herself ready and writing a letter and say, look, you know, maybe does it mean you have to pay me the arrears since I still have one and a half more years to go? Does it mean that letter is showing everybody that she was terminated even before her term ran out? It was. So there has to be an explanation, which is not forthcoming.
That's true. We are talking to Professor Apollos Nwahu. He is the Secretary of the African Diaspora Congress. The matter at hand here of discussion is, you may not be aware, the African Union has recalled or terminated Ambassador Arikana Chiwombori Kwaoho's tenure before it expires, or it expired in February 2021. We are aware of this because of the documentation that is circulating. This is the subject at hand for those of you that have just joined in, listening online, or you've just called in. Professor, my colleague in Canada has a comment or question for you.
Yes, sir, please.
Yeah, Professor, welcome. This is Roger here in Canada. I love the work you are doing and how you have mobilized the diaspora in a short period of time. Watching the Democratic debate the other day, everyone, you know, there was argument, Trump is bad this, Trump is bad this. The other, I don't know if he's Japanese or Chinese fella, he says, in the first place, we are not analyzing why Trump was elected in the first place. And he goes on to explain. On this radio, I think some of us, we've been professor advocates, seeing the danger the diaspora is seen to be in Africa. We are a big danger. And therefore, seeing the passion she brought organizing the diaspora, that to me has really waken up a lot of ambassadors to say, and I'm sure they are talking to their friends in Africa. Second point I would like to mention is probably if we analyze the self-analysis on ourselves, what does this say about we, the diaspora? Does this, in one way, say we are a diaspora without power? We don't have much power. We don't control much, and therefore people, those who are appointing authorities in Africa, can do whatever they do. Suppose we had power, like the Jewish organization have. Do you think they could have called the vibrant lady in this manner? I think these are some of the things going forward. I hope and pray, Professor, your organization is going to be big. We are just willing to be part of something big. Because I am one of those believers, Professor, who believe that diaspora is going to change Africa. We are going to change Africa. And they know it. And they know it. It is a matter of time. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And I appreciate your comment. And I think you hit it right on the head, particularly the power of the diaspora. I think that is the, you see, we have a lot of power, but we have not articulated it. We have not also organized it properly. We have not used it either. Let me say this, that talking in terms of a World Bank assessment says the remittances that African diaspora make to Africa. In fact, if you look at that, it is more than the national budgets of many of African countries, including Nigeria, Ghana, and Kenya, and probably Zimbabwe too, where we have a lot of people living in diaspora, and they continue to remit money either to take care of certain social problems, family issues, and other things, and even building hospitals and a lot of infrastructure in their various countries. Those are not, they are not harmonized. If they are harmonized, you know, because these countries are not really, they don't understand the extent of what we do. But the way you harmonize it is if we, for instance, get together, build a major organization that, like the one we are building, that unites all African diaspora throughout the world in one major organization that can function like the United Nations, that can function like the AU itself, then we now begin to articulate, do we want to establish a bank? Do we want to establish a credit union? Do we want to put ourselves in various commanding heights of the economies of the places we reside? Do we want articulate all that so that by the time we talk, people will listen? Now, the other part is that if you are not organized, believe me, everything you do will be haphazard or sporadic. Nobody will know what it is. It will be like a little drop of water here and there. But if we get organized, and that is my hope for the African Diaspora Congress and what I'm putting together. That's why on the forum I told people, just take it easy. We must put the structure in place before we begin to say who occupies what position or not. And I told them, I say, after all, that is not even the task ahead. The task ahead right now is to face the reinstatement of our ambassador. If ambassador is reinstated, then she would have provided us a launching pad to form a huge mega organization that will unite Africans in diaspora throughout the world. And and I am telling you, we have power. And if we talk here, if we speak, if the Congress, if the Diasporan Congress speaks, AU will listen. AU, African countries will listen. Because you know what? If they do not listen, we will have the power to, in fact, even ask other countries to ignore those heads of state or African countries that are taking us for a ride. We will, and then they begin, maybe some kind of economic choke will give them some shock, and then they will start listening to us. And if they want to do a thing like this, they will ask how it would affect us.
Exactly.
First, before they do it. Thank you.
Exactly.
Excellent. Professor, somebody is listening to this for the first time. How do they get involved? Please give us the information, the website, Facebook page information for the Africa Diaspora Congress.
Okay, thank you. For those who are just joining now, those who don't know how to get involved, please, if you go to your website, this website is going to be launched. I think it's being cleaned up today. That's to tell you that a lot of things are happening in 1 week. It's going to be cleaned up, but our website is www.africandiasporacongress.org. africandiasporacongress.org, one word. That is our website. And we also have we are located in our headquarters in Marietta. That's where it's registered, Marietta, Georgia. And sooner or later, we will begin to get the structures together. We're also on Facebook. You can look us up on Facebook. We also have a Twitter handle. Our Twitter handle is Africa D, as in David, Africa D Congress. That's our Twitter handle. You can also like us on Facebook. Thank you.
Excellent. Okay, everybody, thank you. That was Professor Apollos Nwahu, African Diaspora Congress Secretary. This organization is 1 week old, and they have managed to mobilize close to 50,000 signatures for the African Union to rescind their decision to terminate Ambassador Aretana Chiombori Kwaho's termination. In case you didn't know, they have recalled her. She's the only African Union ambassador who has engaged the diaspora like no one else has ever before. Professor, we do thank you for taking the time to join us. And yeah, we shall be, immediately the structures are in place, we shall bring you back here to discuss. And please let the African Congress diaspora community know that Zambia Block Talk Radio is part of the fight, is part of the struggle, like they used to say in South Africa, and is part of the mobilization.
Thank you very much. Thank you. I just appeal to everyone to join ADC, African Diaspora Congress. It is for everyone. It is for every African. And this fight is for us. And I think it is time for us to get together as Africans rather than getting together for our different countries. Because really what affects one African country or one black person affects the other. Thank you.
That's true. Yeah. Let's take a break. And coming up, Flo Kid.
Give me love, oh. Now you the catch in my shot.
All right, everybody listening to Zambia Block Talk Radio, Saturday, October the 19th. That was Professor Apollo Nwahu, is the African Diaspora Congress Secretary. For those of you who may not be aware, our ambassador to the African Union, our services have been terminated before our contract is over, and that is what has generated this. What do you call it? This, that is what has generated this mobilization and. Signing of signing of a petition for them, for the African Congress to reinstate Ambassador Kwaho, and that is what is pertaining here. All right, we're supposed Flo Kid is my next guest here, and we want to talk about the role of in our series of emerging entrepreneurs. One of the things that we don't seem to really look at and consider as things that contribute in a large way to the economies of countries are things like entertainment, music, sports. And generally, as Africans, we look at things differently. We have said on this show that most of us growing up, we were told that we were told that a career is being a lawyer, an engineer, and all those things. So the narrative has changed, and that is why we are talking to the young people that we are talking to, so that we sort of get to get the, you know, perspective of how things have been and everything else. So, Roger.
Yes.
I need to make a confession here. My computer has died. Is Flo Kid here with us? His number is 2039123.
Okay. We will find out. His number is 203, you said.
Mm-hmm. Area code 203.
No, we don't have 203 on the line. We don't have 203. I have Bella. Maybe can go and knock at his house if he's close by. Bella, are you close to where Flokid is? Can you go and wake him up?
I just spoke with him. He said he was calling him. Look, let me send you by Roger his number so you call him directly. Maybe if he's not on the line.
Okay.
Probably he wants us to, what do you call it, to connect him?
He was under the impression that was happening, but I just spoke with him to call him.
Oh, okay. Those things happen, and we do understand that. What is pertaining in the... Mm-hmm.
Oh, sorry, I was just saying everything is sorted, so waiting for Roger to take care of it on his end. Thanks.
Okay. Yeah, that is what is pertaining there, everybody. In case you were not aware, that Ambassador Rikana has been terminated, and the African diaspora community has risen up in arms demanding that she be reinstated. That is what is going on there. Now, I'm really looking forward to this discussion with Flokid, because I want us to understand some things and some of the processes. The narrative has changed, ladies and gentlemen. That is basically the message here. And those of us who are raising kids in the diaspora, Bella, you better get ready. She's not, sorry to tell you, she's not going to be an engineer or a doctor or whatever you want. She's going to be what she wants to be.
that has been made very clear to me by
others
as well.
You are on speaker. I can't hear you properly.
No, I'm saying others have told me the same, that any preconditions I may have about her being an astronaut being a doctor or whatnot should be out. She wants to be an astronaut, so who am I to argue?
Yeah, astronaut is good. Do we have any Zambian astronauts per se?
Yeah, she's a 4-year-old, but nothing. We'll see what tomorrow brings. Tomorrow she'll probably say, I want to be, who knows.
Okay. Clotilde is on the line here. Hi. Clotilde is on the line here. She'll tell you that she also said once, my son is 4 years old, but look at where he is now. I've already told you that my wife and I were in an empty nest now. We also said they were 4 years old. Time flies, but we can talk about that, and it's exciting. Okay, Flokid, we just look at him like somebody we reach out to when we are having an independence celebration. We are having a big birthday like Miss Clotilde. And, you know, then we invite him to come and entertain the guests. But what did it take for him to get to where he is today? What made him? What got him to this place? You know, that's what we want to hear and understand from him. Oh, my goodness. I'm sorry we have lost time here. We're going to make this work.
He's connected now.
He's connected. Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, I present to you Flokid. Good morning, sir. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, sir. Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
You go to Atlanta and you oversleep on me.
You know, that tells you how much of a good time we had last night, you know?
Yeah, I know. That's your job. You are good at making people have a good time.
As for last night, blame it on guest group.
Oh, really? Nah, don't begin to, watch the word, don't begin to kombucha us, okay? Okay, Flokid, this is the way I want our conversation to go. And others, you'll be free to ask your questions or make your comments, please. As it is right now, I'll just tell you, I'm a spokescholar, so the switchboard belongs to Roger. Tell us about how when you came to the U.S., the transition of you growing up here and going to school here, whichever direction you want to take it.
Yes, yes. I actually came down here in the United States back in 2005, and I went to high school here. A lot of people that know me, I went to high school here in Connecticut.
Uh-huh.
And as for my DJ career, I actually started back in about 2008. Mm. That's when I actually started learning how to DJ from my older brother, DJ Eddie Yekayeka. I know a lot of people, most of you know Yekayeka, because I know a lot of people confuse me for Yekayeka too. So he's actually the one that actually started the whole DJ movement. And I was actually admiring him every time he would DJ, you know.
Oh, wow.
Oh, my God. You know, I'd like to also get into the music business, you know.
Now,
and sometimes
my
brother would let me. What's that?
Yeah. On your Facebook page, Facebook page, you write that. Okay, there's somebody with noise in the background. I don't know. On your Facebook page, you write that you used to attend, what's the word you use there? Secret parties, where you DJ for people, secret parties. Talk about that.
Oh, that was, I put it as underground parties.
Oh, underground parties, yes.
Yes, those were like secret parties, you know. They'll only be by word, you know, just by word of mouth. Basically, only invited people would be there, and they'll usually be like house parties in a basement.
Oh, wow. Right in Connecticut?
Yes, right in Connecticut, yes. Most of them were in Connecticut.
So then when you went to these underground parties, then you DJ at those parties, right? That's what used to happen?
Yes, I would DJ for those underground parties.
Oh, interesting. Where did
At that time, I was about 17, and I used to sneak out of my house, and my dad wouldn't even know that I would be out. You know, I would pretend that I'll go to sleep, and I'll actually sneak out my window in my room, and I would lock my room. If my dad is listening right now, he would kill me.
No, at least nothing crazy or bad came out of it. Who inspired you? I mean, how did the interest of being a DJ start? Where did it come from? I mean,
he actually started from way back when I was younger too. I used to follow this guy called Jack Mwale, DJ Hot Stepper from Zambia. Yes, he used to be actually a good friend of mine. He used to be a mentor from back in Zambia, you know. Every time he would play, because he used to play at Radio 4. And every morning, I would get up, because he used to get on at like 5 o'clock in the morning. So every time before I go to school, I would actually get up and, you know, I would tune to the radio from like about 5 to 6. And 6 in the morning, I would actually go shower. But between 5 and 6, I would be listening to him, and I would always tell mom, like, oh, my God, mom, I want to be just like this guy right here.
And then what was mom's response?
Oh, mom actually was actually supportive of it. Mom actually took me to Radio 4 back in like 2003, 2004. She took me there for a tour at the ZNBC Radio 4, actually ZNBC Radio 4 station too. She took me for a tour there where I got to meet like DJ Dazzle. I met Marion Chigwedere, Lady MC. I got to meet Jack Mwale and Isaac Mulinda too. Isaac Mulinda actually took us for a tour out there when mom brought me there at ZNBC.
Okay. Excellent.
Yeah.
And what
so
was
mom
that
has always been
on
supportive actually of me being a DJ. But dad wasn't for it. He started being supportive a little bit later in me being a DJ, later in my career.
Trust me, that's typical of a dad. I'm a dad. I mean, I know. I mean, I'll just look at you and say, you want to be a what?
I know. Best of the Munganda, I'll wait. So if I go pilot, no. Lawyer, or a doctor.
Oh, I can imagine. Oh, my goodness. I'm sure Auntie Clotilda is enjoying this in a large same way. I know, right? So from there, then, what does it really take? You know, like when you are doing the music, and is there, how do you develop the skill to do what you do? You know, like, you know the way you do it. Hey, join in, tune in, blah, blah. You know what? I can't even do it. What does it take to do that? I mean, how do you learn how to do that?
I mean, trust me, DJ, and a lot of people think, they think it's very easy. They think it's very easy to be a DJ, but it actually takes it takes a lot. You know, you gotta be a people person too. And for me, you know, when I actually DJ, you know, I just go by the vibe of the of my crowd, of the people. You know, whatever the people want, you know, you just gotta go with it. That's really how I do it for me. You know.
Talk about the vibe of the crowd. How do you read the vibe of the crowd? What does it take to do that? What's the vibe of the crowd?
I mean, now the vibe of the crowd with me, how I do it is, how would I explain this one? I mean, it depends. For me, I actually DJ for a lot of different crowds. It's not just Africans, you know, I actually do different events. You know, not Africans or just Zambians. I do different events for Americans. You know, it depends where they call
you. Wow.
You know, if you go to like a Zambian event, you know, of course Zambians are gonna want the Zambian music. You know, give them a little taste of Zambian music. You know, you go to old school music. You know, you give them a old school Zambian, old school disco. You know, and I know my Zambians love that. You know, not so much of like hip hop music. Give them hip hop music, maybe something like back in like the 90s, you know, 90s, 2000s, they love that.
Yes, yes. Now that you make that point, it takes me to my next question, Flo Kid.
Yes.
How did you get this breakthrough? Can you remember what was that first gig, if I may use that word? What was the first commercial gig that you did? How did they identify you to say this guy is good? Can you remember how that happened?
I mean, for me, I would say it's just, I wouldn't say that was the first gig that I did. It's just, I feel like it's just consistency, you know. I've always been out there, you know, and my people that have been to my events actually know what I'm about. So for me, I wouldn't say there was actually a first event or whatever. I would say it's just consistency, because I've been doing this for a long time, you know. And people, I've actually seen what I've been doing, and people that follow me actually know what I'm about.
Exactly. Exactly. Help us understand that this industry, this business is serious business. It's not just a hobby. Because at the beginning of the show, Flo Kid, I was talking about the narrative in our community changing from lawyer, engineer, doctor, and all these things to the arts. The arts are big business. You and I, in our private conversation before the show last week, we talked about African countries realizing. I mean, I think we can agree that, the music or entertainment industry has really taken a turn in Zambia. Wouldn't you say so?
Yes, definitely, definitely has. It definitely has, you know. And if you look at Zambian music right now, and Zambian music from like 10, 15 years ago, there's a very big difference, you know. You look at artists like Yo Maps, you look at Mac Du, you look at Chef 187. These are international artists, you know. They're not just performing.
Right.
These guys, you gotta look at them. They're not just performing in Zambia. These guys are international. Like Yo Maps right now. Yo Maps is actually about to be going to Malawi. B1, my brother B1 was actually just in Malawi. Richie Busy, he's performing in UK with Dreams. And the only thing is, these guys would also be in the United States too, but with our president too, and the whole process of getting these visas. they've been denied the opportunity of flying down here.
Yeah, that's another story for another day.
Yeah, right.
Yes,
it's true.
Yeah,
you know, like when you look back in like,
go ahead.
What's that?
I said, go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Yes, when you look back in like in the early 2000s, mid 2000s, you would only look at maybe like one or two artists, you know, that you bring only to the United States. But now, if you look at Zambia, there's a big number of artists that you guys
yeah.
we're looking at, you know, that we want to bring out here and showcase.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's very important, and I think we're beginning to appreciate that we need to push and pursue this the music industry, entertainment, and it's I mean, do we even need to look very far right in the United States? Look at how big the entertainment show business, as they call it, is in this country, and how much it contributes to the economy and even development of the country. Okay, I don't know if there are people who would like to ask questions here.
Well,
Roger,
my question, Nathan, yeah, will come from me, and then others, let me see, yeah, we have one or two who want to ask a question. Miss Lucas. Flo Kid, my question, this is Roger in Canada.
Hey, Mr. Roger.
You are most connected to these people, the artists back home.
Yes.
What are you doing for them in terms of collaboration, marketing of their music, either in the Zambian community here in diaspora or in the African community? Is there any active engagement with them?
With me, I mean, with me, I actually... My biggest promotion for them is I do my Thursday night shows. I got my radio show every other Thursday night, and I actually do premiere a lot of I go for 2 hours, and for that 2 hours it's only strictly Zambian music that I do, you know. And I'm always premiering Zambian music at least 3-4 songs every other Thursday. You know, and I also have all my shows that I showcase on the weekends. I'm actually playing Zambian music, always promoting, and I also have a WhatsApp group where I actually update all Africans in there, and I also have Americans in there. It's a WhatsApp group where I actually post up Zambian music in there. Every new Zambian music songs that come out every week, I'm always promoting them in there, and I also have Nigerian promoters in there. You know, I got my Ghanaian promoters in there. There are actually a lot of different Africans in there.
Wonderful. I've seen Afro Kid also collaborations between, especially the Nigerian musicians and Tanzania. I don't know what is that's that guy. They are doing a lot of songs nowadays with the American artists. Songs together. How have you looked at that? I don't know if you know what I mean.
Yes, I've definitely looked at that. But you know, it's as for our Zambian artists, we need that one breakthrough, you know, to the American line, to American industry, you know, industry, the international where we just get at least one artist, you know, a big artist to like collaborate with any one of our Zambian artists to at least be seen that Zambians have talent, you know. There's a lot mm-hmm. of potential in Zambia, you know. Mm-hmm. We just need that one breakthrough. And I know my Zambian artists right now, they're working hard. They're working hard.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Okay, so good morning. This is Matilda. I know you'll be playing at the Las Vegas event next week. We're looking forward to that. Whoop, whoop. So,
yes.
Being that music, music is such great influence. Musicians can portray any kind of message through that music, and some musicians have been blacklisted politically to where they say, we don't want this artist. How do you feel as a DJ if maybe there's a song, it's really hot, maybe it's got the message, I don't know, but it might have some political inclination around it. Do you still play the music for entertainment, or do you play it? What? How do you deal with that type of scenario?
I mean, for me, I definitely do play the music. You know, in Zambia, we just need to learn we need to learn the freedom of speech. You know, as you know, that reminds me of my brother, like this controversial artist, what's his name, Pilato. You know, he's very talented. He's a very smart guy, and it's just the country that we are in is definitely is not for him. You know, but as for artists like that, we just I feel like it's I think Zambia going forward, hopefully we can broaden our ideas when it comes to that. You know,
I just a quick follow up on that is have you ever been? I mean, well, being in the diaspora, I guess it's different. Maybe your colleagues who are on the ground. If, for example, Pilato, I'm just using him as an example. Have you ever heard of a situation to say, hey, don't play this guy's music? Has it ever happened to you or any of your colleagues?
Yes, all the time. It definitely happens to me all the time. The biggest one is Pilato. All the time, I always get that, you know. But I don't even know how I could talk about that one. You know, it's very political for me.
Yeah,
but especially when it comes to the Pilato situation, you know. I always want to be neutral, you know. As for me, because I always want to be the neutral guy.
I know. As much as you try, you still be misunderstood. Okay, we have a few minutes remaining. Let's take as many comments or questions as we could. Hi, Miss Clotilda. Please go ahead.
Hey, good morning, son.
Good morning, Mami Cole.
Mine is not a comment, but it's just to commend you. You always do a good job, and all I can urge you is never to change. You're a people person. People love you, and just keep doing what you do.
Thank you. I appreciate that, Mommy.
Uh-huh. Okay, let's go to Pennsylvania. Uncle Chiseway.
Thank you. You said Kid Flo. Thank you for joining us, and it's... my question is, I don't know if you've heard one time they did ban Zambian music in British Airways. I think it was some European country, airline. I think it was Zambian music and Kenyan music. Do you know why?
I know, I never heard of that one. What was that again?
British Airways. I think it was British Airways and some European airlines. They did ban African music, you know, like, you know, when you're flying, sometimes you hear Nigeria, sometimes you hear but they didn't allow to play Zambian music. Are you aware of that at one point or not?
No, I actually never heard of that one. That's actually new to me. I didn't hear about that one.
Okay. If you never heard about that.
Oh, Yama, you mean on the plane, on the flight?
On a flight, yeah.
Oh, okay.
And the reason, the reason I'm asking that, and what's your target group? And you have, like, are you guys young people working on, like, wedding music, party music? What's your target group? What age group do you mostly target?
I mean, as for me, I'm a DJ, so I'm not an artist. As for artists, I mean, for me, I don't know if you're looking at Zambian music or just Afro beats, but as for Zambian music,
Let me say, okay, we are all 60s, and we invite you to come and play at wedding and stuff. What kind of music are you gonna? Do you think about that, or that's not your concern?
I mean, as weddings, most of the times, you know, that's a very memorable moment. So I usually go by what the couple requests. You know, usually they give me a list. You know, they'll give me a list of at least maybe like 50 to 100 songs, and then I'll actually go by that, and I'll blend in. You know, if they miss some songs, I'll go with my list too, and I usually blend in with whatever they give me, you know.
Okay.
Oh.
Okay.
Because, yeah. Excellent. You are floated. You are waiting. Yeah, no, we've lost time. We've lost time.
Okay. Go ahead.
We need to finish here. Yeah. You are working on a project. You are putting something together. Could you talk about that as we conclude? And what's the way forward? What should we look forward to from you?
Before you answer, we just want to hear what your mom has to say. Vanna Floki, how are you?
I'm all right, thank you. How are you?
Yeah, we didn't recognize your number. Now that I've just been elected.
Oh my goodness. That's all right.
okay.
My goodness, me. This is an honor, Mom. This is an honor, and I mean, this is really big.
Thank you. I'm humbled. Yeah.
Yeah. You can go ahead with your answer, and that's, and I'm sure he's going to have a question for Mom. Just to conclude.
Yes, Mr. Nathan, what was the question again?
Yeah, go ahead. I was saying that you are working on something, you are putting something together, and what's the way forward? What should we expect from you?
Well, I mean, as for now, I'm actually working on a mixtape, the best of Zambian music, volume six. Yes, mm-hmm. And I should be releasing that in December. Right around Christmas, I'll be releasing that, because I know a lot of people have been looking forward for that. I haven't had no mixtapes since about 2 years ago, 2-3 years ago. And then as for now, I'm just doing, my Zambian people are keeping me very busy. You guys are keeping me busy. This weekend I'm in Atlanta.
I know.
Yesterday we had a pre-party with my brother Gesh Groove. Tonight, we have the official party that I'm going to be DJing, and my brother Gesh Groove is the official MC. And then next weekend we'll be in Las Vegas, Friday, the 25th. We're going to have a pre-party. The 26th, we have the official party with my brother Slap D will be there performing live. And then the following weekend, which is November 2nd, I'll be in Maryland, the DMV area, DC, Maryland, Virginia area, for the official Zambian Independence over there.
God. Okay, we've run out of time. This is not good. Somebody should have alerted me that Mom is on the show. Mom, a few words to the parents listening. As we finish here.
You know, it's not easy being a mother to DJs. You know, I have two sons that are DJs, and
They are both DJs,
and they taught my daughter too how to DJ, so that in case you have a kitchen party that you don't want men in, they'll go connect the equipment, and they'll leave her DJing. So it's not easy, but notice what interest the children have in support them.
5 minutes in the next segment.
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm sure.
Yeah, Mom, we've run out of time. Let's all call back. We'll continue this in the next segment for about. We need to talk to Mom here. We will continue this. Please, let's all call back.
All right. Thank you.